Much has been written and spoken about bad things happening to good people. Famous book by that title. Little attention seems to be paid, however, to bad things happening to bad people. In fact, modern society seems to be trying desperately to convince itself that there are no bad people. For every heinous, depraved act, seems to be a multitude of excuses and excusers. The ultimate goal seems to be to absolve all of us of the guilt of our sin. We don't want bad things to happen to bad people because we don't want to suffer the guilt or penalty of our own. Bible truth is that there is sin, however. Praying that evil will be defeated and properly punished is not only appropriate, but it's also a prayer that is sure to be answered. Last book of the Bible and hundreds of passages leading up to it assure us that this will inevitably happen. So we should not be shocked as we study Psalm 28 this morning. Hear David pray for retribution to fall on the wicked. Let's look at verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me. Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. Notice first of all the tone of the prayer. David is in trouble. We don't know specifically when this was written. But we know that the wicked men are after him. We see those references in the middle part of the psalm. The situation is very serious, maybe even desperate. The word cry here means to accost. Or like you're walking down the street and a homeless person comes up to you and puts their hand in your face and say, I need help, I need you to buy me such and such. So it's a word like that to get somebody's attention, not just to say, but to go straight to them. David then acknowledges that God is his rock. This word rock speaks of a cliff or a rocky wall, which was known as a place of security for storms. Now, we feel fairly secure in our houses today. I've got one of those that my wife calls tall and skinny houses. It's a two-story with a basement. So we feel that wind. Those who have a bed feel the whole room just a little bit. But I feel fairly secure in my house. I don't need to go over. But in these times, these houses mainly were just stacks of rocks and had very little order. So there was a danger. So if there was a big storm, they would head to the cliff. Maybe to find a cave, face of the cliff, security. So David said, in this time when I am being in danger, I'm in a desperate situation, when I'm crying out to you, I'm saying, God, I need help. You are my place of refuge. And then he asked for God to speak to him. He says, God, don't be silent. Say something. Been in a room with somebody that into talking, and you know, all of a sudden you start feeling lonely in the room with somebody else, and you say to him, say something. And so David is saying to the Lord, Lord, talk. Say something to me. If you don't talk to me, Lord, I'm no better than the sinner on his way to destruction. And so the urgency of the situation has greatly increased the seriousness David's prayer. Does it happen to you? You just sail through life and everything's going smooth with no problems. And all of a sudden, wrong comes the big one. And the whole tone of your prayer changes. No more of this, now I'll lay me down to sleep. I mean, we're getting serious before God. I've mentioned four times. This. These. Many times over out. So that covenant is true supplication. And he continues in verse 2. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. The word cry here is a different word, but a similar meaning. It means specifically to help to be set free from something. So David says, something's got me. And I am being trapped. I am being pulled away. And so, Lord, I reach out to you. Say, help me. Give me victory over this thing. Rescue me from this situation. The word supplication means earnest prayer. And it's not just, the Lord, you're way up there, just send me an answer. But the idea is, Lord, come down to me. Come on down here and be right here with me and help me in this situation. And then he says, I'm going to stretch out my hands. I'm going to lift my hands toward thy holy oracle. As we've often pointed out, the hopelessness of the worship of the nation of Israel in the ancient times had to do with the fact that in the interior part of the temple, a simple box called the ark, and at the ends of that box, across the top of the box, turning into cherubims, was this piece of gold. And the cherubims had their wings facing each other. And in that area between the box and the tip of the wings of the cherubim, there was a brilliant light which represented the very presence of God among his people. And so when the Israelites prayed, they pointed their hands toward that visible presence. That visible. And of course, the say, I want to see God. And so when we get in that desperate situation, we don't just approach God and say, God, I need you to do something for me. We say, God, I'm pointing to Jesus because of him, because of what he's done, Lord. I'm praying, and we don't, this is just not something to tack on at the end of our prayer. I am praying in Jesus' name. I am coming on his account. I'm asking. Verse 3, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. He says the first phrase here is probably a picture of a hunter's net. It's been thrown out, and then they start pulling in the net. And David says, I feel like maybe I'm in the net with the sinners. And that's a very scary thing. And I want to get out of the net with which you're drawing the sinner. It reminds us of the picture in the Gospel of Matthew. And you might want to turn there to Matthew chapter 13 or listen carefully to read. Speaking of the time of the end, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47. Matthew 13 and verse 47. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Now, I'm not a fisherman, but I do know that when you fish with a line, a hook, you design your lure for what you want to catch. But if you throw a net out there, whatever comes in, you got. And some of it may be things that you have no desire for at all. And so in these times when they would cast a net out, pull it in, and then they would hit the net, pull it up on the bank, And then they would go and get things that they didn't like and put them in a pile of the fish that they wanted to eat. For whatever reason I can't figure out. They would put that in a pile and that would be the good. So he says in verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So David said, Lord, if you don't talk to me, if you don't help me, I'm going to feel like I'm being dragged into the net with all of the other wicked. And he said, these are the kind that speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their heart. The word mischief has the connotation that not only that the thing that is spoken of is bad, but it has a bad result for everybody else. Mischief means that the evil that one is doing is harmful, is bad for all of those who are the bystanders who are standing around. In David's case here, he may have been talking about rival kings or foreign armies. And these rival kings were speaking peace. And they were saying, oh, we love the nation of Israel and oh, their wonderful king David. But he knew that they were secretly planning war, which would bring great devastation, not only on David, but on everyone around. You know, we see in our day, and we've always seen since the beginning of time, that man fell. People who seem so nice, but the works that pour out of their hearts is harmful to us all. People that sin, the result of their sin spills out, the negative results of their sin spill out on everyone around them. Those that are involved in the sin of drunkenness take innocent lives. Just driving down the road, and the drunk comes and kills straw, causes unspeakable sorrow in the lives of everyone around, family and everyone else. Promiscuity. You say, that's a private thing. That's just between the people that are involved. No, it's between all of us. And the disease that comes, and the disruption in society, and the poverty that comes, and children with no supervision, and the murders, all of these things affect all of us. Well, pornography. Pornography creates monsters that endanger our children, and endanger all of us. And so evil spills over, it's mischief. Gambling and thievery. And these things are rampant in the world around us. They are rampant in our own society. This week, I was talking to the news. There was a national conference on child pornography. It was held in Alabama. And I read one of the articles Wednesday. They say that we have found in Nova Scotia, we have found 5,500 traffickers of child pornography. These are people that make it something. How many are there? People that speak here in Juro get caught. Huh? So, would it be 10,000? How many people does it take to support? Would it be 20 peepers? People that just look per every person that produces? That's 200,000. It's just unbelievable. What does David say about that? Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. Give them what they deserve for this sin. May they be punished so that righteousness will reign. The innocent will be protected. And the judgment of God will be withheld from our nation and our society. Do you think that God will just simply allow Nova Scotia to go in that direction? What do you think that God is thinking about these children that they pull off the streets and do these awful things to? Does that please God? It does not please God. And David says, Lord, stop it. Make it stop. Defeat this wickedness. Morning's paper, same topic, headline, front page. Guys in an internet cafe in Halifax yesterday. In an internet cafe, Brother Abercrombie. He's accessing this stuff. Girls are working this stuff. It's all in the security monitor. One's good. She picked up a phone call with one. They came and arrested him. Good for her. Good for her. And we're not talking about personal retribution on anybody. We're talking about praying that God would deliver us from the evil and the mischief that accomplishes, that comes out of those terrible sins. Verse 5, because they regard not the works of the Lord nor the operation of His hands, He shall destroy them and not build them up. All the wicked will be punished someday. There's a picture in the book of the Revelation in chapter 6 where the martyrs, those who had been killed by wicked men because of their faith in Christ, the martyrs are saying to the Lord, to God, and they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? In other words, Lord, how can you let this go on? Lord, bring judgment to those who are filling our world with wickedness. So we tend to think today, Lord, do you notice? Do you see what's happening? Lord, when are you going to judge? I don't know all the answers to that question. I know one of the answers. That has to do with God's mercy. Romans 9, 22 through 23. What if God, now listen to this verse, what if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known? There's nothing that stops God's will that evil be punished. If you think you hate evil, think how God hates evil. So God hates the evil, and He's willing that His wrath be poured out. But it says, He endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had before prepared. You know one of the reasons that God wrath like the first plan that God did pour out His wrath before July 1955. So we had God, who is angry at sin, is also full of mercy. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord, because He hath heard the voice of my supplication. To be blessed means to be glorified, to be honored, to be lifted up, to be praised. And so we say, God, may You be lifted up, may You be honored, may You be praised. Why? Because You do hear. See it now. He hath heard the voice of my supplication. Amazing! God hears.
Wendell Allenback is only one of 6,647,833,142. Subatomic ants, we call humans, crawling around on this tiny submicroscopic speck that we call the Earth, rotating around a totally insignificant star, one star out of 7.62. In a backwater section of the universe. And God is running this entire thing. He's up there punching all the buttons to run this entire universe. When he's on his way home, he's supposed to. God immediately says, I hear one. Wendell, my son, how are you? Haven't heard from you since lunch when you bowed your head and thanked me for those two sub sandwiches, three donuts, and two double doubles. I know you've been busy today, Wendell. You're putting in that that laminate floor, and that house has got 15 tiny little closets in it. And I know what that's like. I had a pretty big construction project myself about 6,000 years ago, Now, Wendell, about this snowstorm thing, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it for the foundation. Now, there is a guy up there on the near street that goes by your house. And he's one of those dumb monies that came up here to Canada from the U.S. and didn't have to drive and stuff. And, you say you know somebody like that, Wendy? I think I know who you're talking about. Guardian angel just applied for early retirement. But anyway, one of those kind of guys, and he's going to be going too fast on that curve there, on your road, that where you turn down in to go to the Ames house, and he's going to lose it, and he's going to do some 180s right out across your lane. But I've already taken care of it. At the next stop sign, there's going to be an LOL, a little old lady, that's going to turn right out on the street. And even in the beautiful weather, she only drives at about 30 clicks. And she's going to be doing half that. And Wendell will talk back to her. But she's going to keep you from getting to that place too soon. Good to talk to you, Wendell. I love you, sir. When you get home, give Gwen a big hug and tell her I love her, too. All your kids, tell them, well, don't fuck the boys, but at least, you know, just tell them that I love them. And talk to me soon, Wendell. How can you not pray? Ask God, how do I know? The same way that we know everything about God, it's in the book. It says in Jeremiah 33:3, listen, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And show me my hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask. And you shall receive at your joy. Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, and while they are yet speaking, I will be. So when you say, Lord, help me, before you get to the me, he's already helping. He heard you when you first opened your mouth. In fact, he knew you would call before the foundation of the world.
You say, well, Pastor, that must mean that no Christian who prays for protection will have an automobile accident.
Let me know.
Remember, we live in a world full of evil. We live in a world that's cursed. We live in a world of danger. We must suffer for other sins. We must suffer for our own sins. But what God promises is that He will, rather than this being bad, whatever comes, He will make it good in the ultimate end. Because He controls the wickedness of men to work out His own purpose. And so the evil that comes to us draws us closer to Himself. It makes us stronger, as in the athlete who works and pumps and sweats in order that they might be able to perform well. And so we as believers, when the difficulty comes, it strengthens us rather than destroys us. And He makes sure that we're not tempted above that we are able, but always gives us a way of escape. And then eventually, it will take us to our goal. The curse of sin in our bodies eventually bring us to this hope. Verse 7, the Lord is my strength, my shield, my heart trusted. There's our theme for this morning. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise Him. So the Lord is my strength or my power. He is my shield or my protection. Like a person climbs into bed after a tiring day and completely relaxes in the support and the comfort of the bed, so my heart rests in quiet. My heart trusts. Wonder of the fact that the eternal God is my help so overwhelms me that my heart rejoices. I break out singing His praises. Day by day, trust. Verses 8 and 9. Prayer turns now not to David's deed, but to the deeds of those who are. The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, lift them up forever. The Lord is the strength for all of His own. He takes care of us all. So Lord, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters. Bless them, feed them, and then take them all up on high for it. The joy of praying for others is part of the answer to the prayers for myself. And I have so many needs, and I come and say, oh God, I'm needy. I supplicate You. I ask You to come down to me and help me. I cry out to You. And Lord, that reminds me to pray for Matt Smith. And so, Lord, I just pray that You would bless him, that You would take care of him, that You would build his Christian character. And as I'm praying for Matt, the joy I get for praying for him makes my own problems seem minimal. And there's the answer as I pray for others. And so David turns to pray for the needs of others. I was thinking, after I prepared the message, the Lord brought to my mind the many, many places in the New Testament epistle writers encourage prayer for each other and promise to pray for those to whom they wrote.
Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, says the Apostle Paul to the church in Romans, in Rome. In 2 Corinthians, he says, God delivered me from death, and you were part of that deliverance because you prayed. In Ephesians, we find two separate prayers that Paul prayed for the people of Ephesus. In Philippians, he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, make requests for joy. Then we find also one of his prayers for the people of Philippi. 1 Thessalonians, he says to those to whom he's writing, brethren, James says, pray for me. I trust that you're praying for each other. Who is that calendar?
And pray for each other. In your personal time with the Lord, pray for others.
Yeah. What do I pray specifically? Now, let me just go to the book of Colossians. Let me turn to the street. This is a copy of Paul's prayer. Paul said, this is my prayer for you and the church in Colossae. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and of all patience, long suffering, joy, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet, be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Who hath delivered us, power, and hath translated us into his person. Still in Psalm 28, the last phrase is, lift them up before him. Colossians says, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we pray for each other, so for God, the needs of others. We look forward to the time. Oh, I look back on my life. I was so much like the intermission. Massachusetts. Thank you that we call you to hear. You do answer. Lord, even though we cannot dictate the answer that you give us, we would not want to. Thank you, Lord, to make all work together to those who are called. Lord, thank you. Amazing. Insignificant we are. Relation to you. Yet, Lord, you want us individual.
that you come today to respond. I encourage you to be today to save and to bring your salvation and relationship to you. Lord, for those that may be here,